activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast. Brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It is Thursday, September 5th, 2013. Welcome to September, and welcome to another wacky edition of the thing that we do that's called Alien Invasion. This is another Galactic Netcast and the Alien Invasion number 81 from Waterloo, Iowa. I'm Dave Matthews Nelson. Joining me this evening from Wausau, Wisconsin is Brad Carlisle Ludwig and Anessa Thompson Moines from Denton, Texas. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. How are you?
Good. Now the tables are turned because you must ask me what the names mean.
I must. What do the names mean?
Those are all red shirts from Star Trek.
Oh, well, there you go.
From the original series. They all died in the line of duty.
Hooray? What are we doing in this show, Dave?
As we go along, each one of you will die. You'll be killed horribly by a monster that we will be unleashing that are actually aliens from another planet.
Oh. Ooh. Oops, sorry.
That's one way to go.
Stop playing with your stuff there.
Wait a second now.
Wrong.
I could have said junk. Stop playing with your junk.
Doesn't matter. Stop playing with your stuff.
Both hands are up here. Everything's fine.
And by the way, Anessa, your red shirt is a woman, so I didn't slap you with a male red shirt name. It's
okay.
I forget her first name. She was the only one with the first name, and I did not include it. So my apologies. All right. This is the show. This is the podcast where we talk about aliens, beings from elsewhere in the universe, and their appearances in TV, film, video games, comic books, science, and in real life. The show, we break it down into three sections: the news, the creature feature, that's the spotlight of a particular kind of alien, and our picks for the week. And if you'd like to if you'd like to watch us live, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus. We'll tell you when and where that's going to be. Actually, the page is galacticnetcasts.com/live.
And thankfully, that page is in English.
Mm-hmm. And the language that I just spoke is
Davies
Epsilon Vega 3 language. All right. You guys ready to go? Ready to start the news?
Sure.
Get the show on the road.
It
begins with this right here.
In the news.
Okay, what you got there, Bradley?
So they have a new equation for estimating alien life across the universe.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's the new model for 2014?
No, actually it's for insurance and actuaries. No, it's absolutely for estimating the different life that's in the universe, not for insurance purposes whatsoever. So many of us have looked to the stars and wondered whether there was, you know, life out there, and we haven't really tried very hard to approximate a number. Sarah Sager of MIT has kind of figured something out. And her equation factors in how many planets with detectable signs of life may be discovered in the coming years and includes the number of stars that will be observed, the fraction of those stars with habitable planets, and the fraction of those planets that can be observed. Now, this is not the first time that an astronomer has put such thoughts into numbers. Frank Drake in 1961 put together a list of factors needed to estimate the number of intelligent civilizations in the galaxy, which turned into the Drake equation.
I was going to say, but you beat me to it.
Bam. Sager's new equation makes no assumption that extraterrestrials are intelligent and using radio technology. Instead, she simply works on an idea that life of any type may be present in sufficient abundance to alter the chemical composition of the planet's atmosphere. On Earth, for example, our atmosphere has been driven to a specific chemical composition by the combined metabolisms of all living things. It's as distinctive as a fingerprint. So by analyzing the atmosphere of another planet, we may be able to detect the presence of life, even if it is only pond weed.
I've never.
That sounds like a very lame strain of marijuana.
I love it.
No. People want the Maui Wowie, not the pond weed.
And it's even below ditchweed. It's worse than ditchweed. There you go.
It's soggy and smelly. Nobody wants that.
I never thought of this before, though. I never thought that, you know, people, organisms, beings within a planet's atmosphere actually change the composition. I never thought of that before. It's interesting.
It's almost like we're lowering the bar. We've been shooting for, you know, people that have space travel or some kind of technology, and now we're just like, well, do they breathe? Do they excrete something?
But I could see the advantages of this just because it's you're not trying to specifically find a certain type of being, right? I mean, every being out there, no matter how smart they are and no matter how far along on the revolutionary ladder they are, they're all going to, you know, affect the atmosphere. So it's kind of dumbing it down, but at the same time, it works.
Well, the only thing that I would wonder is you don't have a control. You don't have – you're going to be observing a planet that has chemical composition in its atmosphere. How do we know if something's been added to it that has changed the composition? Or you don't have like a base reading to kind of go from. That seems kind of weird to me.
Well – what they might end up doing is looking at Earth and certain elements that are already found in our atmosphere that would be actually contributed by not like machinery or anything like that, but living beings, whether it's even not necessarily in the atmosphere, just even going down into the oceans and looking at extremophiles and how that affects the environment around them. So I'm thinking they're probably going to look for key elements that would be more of a sign that there's a possibility of life rather than changes. Like, because, I mean, in order to observe any sort of changes in the atmosphere that might be caused by existing life on this planet, you would have to keep track of it for quite a while in order to see any changes, if it's even making any noticeable changes. I mean, I'm sure we make, without our technologies and pollution and all that other stuff, just on our own, our changes to the atmosphere probably weren't that big to begin with before we started industrializing.
Yeah, and way back in the day, you know, we didn't have that bacon element that was floating around the atmosphere because nobody was, you know, grilling bacon yet.
What?
The element of bacon.
Yes.
Considering it an element.
It's on the periodic table, isn't it? Bacon? It's next to argon.
Yes, bacon is a noble meat.
So, yeah, I'm thinking they're probably looking for what they would consider characteristics of life forms, like what they would actually leave behind or emit into the atmosphere. So whether it's maybe some sort of moss converting oxygen into converting carbon dioxide into oxygen or whatever the life form based system is there, they're probably looking for different key elements that are featured within the atmosphere.
And the universe, the galaxy, there's basic elements, right? I mean, there's nothing too exotic. There's all the same.
At least not that we found.
Yeah.
So, And I mean, didn't they just add another element to the periodic table not too long ago?
Bacon.
Well, not bacon, but for real. I'm like, not bacon, but for real. So.
No, the other one.
Are you saying bacon's not real? Because I beg to differ.
Element.
Okay.
Element wise, that's why I said periodic table.
All right. Well, it's delicious.
Not
period.
The table that you go to periodically to eat bacon. Yeah.
Womp 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 womp.
So,
Oh, sorry.
So, but no, I'm guessing they're probably looking for key elements, and they were talking about the equation, and were they using light? Is that what they were doing? Spectroscopy, maybe?
Whoa.
Because that's how they identify a lot of
Isn't that something where you have to put a probe in somewhere?
Colonoscopy?
This show was going down the drain really quickly. And I have to apologize. Well, it's my fault.
It is your
fault. A lot
of
the observations done in astronomy are on light different based. Wavelengths of light. So, and spectroscopy basically breaks up the wavelengths of light to identify different elements, and that's how we can determine what the elements are that make up the sun or distant stars. So some stars might have more helium or whatever than others. So we can actually break up the composition that way. So I'm guessing that's probably the same thing, is we're using spectroscopy to determine, to help in this equation of determining whether or not there are life forms.
But we've only
determining what sort of elements are.
We've only just begun actually photographing planets, right? Would they photograph the first extra solar system planet just not that long ago, right? They've only done it like one or two times.
As far as photographing, maybe? I don't really know. Everything regarding extrasolar planets, they usually look for dips within the wavelengths of light. So
stars, yeah.
Or, yeah, in stars. So if they see a star dimming and it dims at a regular basis, one, they have to look to see if that star is like a variable star. So some days or some periods of time, it'll burn brighter than other periods of time, just depending on how much energy it decides, or I forget how it factors it in, how much energy it actually goes through. But yeah, they look for like a consistent thing.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to even photograph because they're so far away.
Yeah. But I was just saying, going back to your point, what you were making, how they were going to figure out what the composition of the atmosphere was, mm-hmm. they'd have to photograph it, right?
No, they just would record the light that comes back. They'd be able to measure the wavelengths
so
of the light.
Whatever the wavelengths of light's being reflected off of this body.
Okay. All right. I got it. Got it now.
So they don't necessarily have to photograph, I guess. I mean, because there's different ways of collecting light and data, so.
I have a question.
Okay.
If a sun had a voice because there's helium involved, would it be really high-pitched?
And we're done with that story. Thank you very much. That was very interesting. I just like how this person is quantifying it, though. And I just wanted to throw in the word quantify, because I like quantify.
That's a $5 word there, Mr. Nelson.
Yeah, it is.
Good job.
Yeah, it is. All right. I've been dying to talk about this next story because I'm in radio, right? And I like aliens, mm-hmm. right? So the two come together to make one awesome story. So check this out. Alabama community left terrified after radio station airs promotional ads featuring fake alien invasion.
sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does. Very, very, sounds very familiar. I love this story because I can't believe that people actually fell for this and thought it was something real. So here's more of the details.
People are gullible.
Yeah, yeah. Star 94.9, your hits of 70s, 80s, and 90s, and today, was changing formats in Tuscumbia. That's in Alabama. So it used a gimmicky marketing ploy in which extraterrestrials take over the station to figure out what type of music appeals to humans. But the promotion apparently backfired, putting some local residents on edge and fearing for their children's safety. So what happened was they ran these promos on the air, and somehow it turned into people thinking it was something else than it actually was.
Wow.
Okay, so parents and students called police and school, and the station said it received phone calls too. Station program director Brian Rickman has issued an apology for the confusion. He said the ad was meant to be funny, and the station had not foreseen any problems with the promotion. I wouldn't have either. In the goofy promotional spots, an alien commander with a faint British accent speaks to an underling with a robotic voice who offers him information about the inhabitants of Alabama and Tennessee, saying that they fear change. The publicity stunt quickly went viral on Facebook and Twitter, leading some parents and students in the area to believe that the seemingly innocuous promotion was actually a bomb threat threatening local schools.
Really?
Yeah. I don't.
First off, do they spend enough in education? I'm going to piss off some people in Alabama here right now. So, spoiler alert here. They don't. Really? This is a thing? Oh my god! Do they spend enough in education to keep schools open in Alabama?
Maybe they're as bad as Texas' education system.
And two, you think, how many crappy made-for-TV movies have you seen where they just, use a British accent because that's what anybody who... Fuck, really? Oh, my God!
There was more to the story. They talked about how it kind of turned into a game of telephone where one person hears it, then tells somebody else, and tells somebody else, and it turns into something else. That's where the whole... fearing for the school safety came in. But still.
I would want to look up this recording because they probably have it streaming.
I found it. Hang on one second here.
But I mean, if someone tells me about this radio broadcast, I would want to hear it and I would have to go look it up to see if anyone's posted it.
Okay. Here. Let's play a little bit of it right here.
The Columbia Broadcasting System.
Oh, never mind. This is War of the Worlds. I want to hear this though. I want to hear the promos. You know, this is totally something that I would do. I would totally do something like this because it would be fun. It would be interesting.
Did they include a disclaimer at the beginning? I'm sure they did though.
Why would you? Why would you have?
Because
to?
Because clearly the people in this community are idiots. And then you would include the disclaimer at the very end, so at least if they, listen, then you're like, hey, I told you it's not real.
Aliens are not real. They're not taking over the radio station. You have nothing to worry about. Dummies.
This is just being funny.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
That just upsets me to the core thinking about, that's kind of a reflection of our society, right? Kind of. We're almost reverting in a way.
No, that's a reflection of those people in Alabama.
I was going to say, we just keep it localized in Alabama.
No, just them.
We lost our two Alabama listeners.
We probably just lost anybody who's ever listened from Alabama, and they hate us forever, but
yeah.
Goddamn, come on.
And if you want, okay, this is...
At the very least, we can specify the people in Tuscumbia, or however they pronounce it.
You know, we're gonna get an email from somebody in Alabama going, yeah, those people are idiots there in that town, or
that or someone with a relative or used to live there or just recently moved there.
I'd like to know if anybody, I want to get
in Tennessee, apparently is included in this. Yeah. Didn't they say something about Tennessee?
Yeah, I think it's near the border, so it's
probably,
yeah. I'd like to get some feedback.
You people are sweet, but I'm disappointed in you.
If somebody is listening in Alabama or this certain area,
if I haven't upset you already,
yeah, let us know. Give us some feedback. Let us know what you think about this story. And are you really, really mad at Brad right now? That's what I really want to know.
I still love you, Brad.
I just wow.
This is great, though. I would totally do something like this. I wonder what the format changed to eventually.
I don't know.
Are you doing some research? Are you Googling? You doing the Google?
I'm doing the Google.
Okay.
Let's see.
You should Google in private.
Oh, God. This looks like a Jack format or something. They've got AWOL Nation, John Mellencamp, Of Monsters and Men.
What? That's a weird...
Mumford and Sons.
Okay. But are they...
It's a modern hits, at least that's what this is right now. Look like they've made the change yet.
They're not. They're still Star 94.9?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is awesome, though. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's sad at the same time. It saddens me. How could people believe this?
I don't know.
Okay, I need the screen here for a second because, goddamn. All right. So here is their Facebook page right now, and they've got their hand-drawn aliens here. What are you doing making friends?
How many people have liked their page, by the way?
9,803.
Okay. All right. It's respectable.
Hey, let's find out where Tuscumbia... There we go.
Zoom out.
I'm working on that here.
Zoom out. It's got to be close to the Tennessee border as well, I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's not that far.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's the border.
Yeah.
So maybe a half hour...
Mm-hmm.
From the border, maybe.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
I don't know what scale that is. Oh,
yeah,
it's not too far from Memphis.
Yeah. It's not real close, though, to any major, major cities.
No.
Hey, they have a Madison as well. Maybe Huntsville.
Yeah.
But
Wait a second. Huntsville is where NASA is, right? Huntsville, Alabama. That's where... they have a headquarters for NASA there. Isn't that where the space school used to be?
Maybe.
Huntsville?
Maybe.
Yeah. All right.
But, wow.
Do we want to give this story any more time?
I shake my head.
It's a story of sadness.
It is.
Wow.
We should start our own rumor and see how far it goes. You know, in this day and age, you'd think that people would be smarter because of the internet.
No. It's a thing. Like, you see things posted on Facebook all the time going, watch out for the butt spider. It's lethal. Like, so many people have died from this butt spider. And I'm like, it's not real.
So this is why Snopes exist.
Yeah.
People ask you, is there a place where I can fact check and double check? Yes, it's called Snopes.com. If anybody sends you stupid crap on Facebook that says if you, you know, click this link, your fucking head will explode, check Snopes.
I've been the gullible person once or twice. And
everybody gets sucked in every once in a while. But if you see something that's just like, oh, aliens have bothered to grab this very small market radio station and are looking to take over the area or try to determine how to make friends? Really?
They speak in a British accent.
It makes my head hurt.
They speak English and in a British accent.
In a slight British accent.
No, that's John from the production department.
People of Earth. No, I just... Wow.
All right. We've given this story too much time already.
Okay,
so
yep.
Let's...
You know what, though?
What?
People can contact us and let us know, hey, did we dwell too long on that particular story?
Or, again, if you're from Alabama and are really, really mad at Brad, you can send us an email, all right? That email address is galacticnetcasts@gmail.com, galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. The voicemail number, if you want to just yell into the phone for about 5 minutes, that'd be fun to play on the show. Number is 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Those are just two of many ways that you can get a hold of us and leave us feedback. And we welcome it all, negative or positive. All right, Anessa, this story that you have, I can relate to because I'm reading this book right now, but go ahead and run it down. What are you talking about here?
Okay, well, the young adult novel, The Fifth Wave, might be heading to the movies, as young adult novels seem to be doing as of late. Based on the Rick Yancey novel of the same name, the film follows a teenager who survives an alien invasion only to search for her brother, who may have been abducted by human-looking extraterrestrials. There's also a romantic angle as the heroine is helped by a boy who may also be an alien in disguise.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, bum, bum. Given the popularity of the book and fans already asking for a sequel, Sony is hoping this pick can turn into a future franchise for the studio. GK Films acquired the rights to The Fifth Wave back in March 2012 when it purchased a proposal for a young adult trilogy from the author. Blakeson gained notoriety with his 2009 cult hit, The Disappearance of Alice Creed, and is looking for his follow-up. Blakeson has been attached to a handful of films since, including the film adaptation of the novel Wool.
And of course,
I actually wanted to read that as woo, because at a glance it looks like woo with an exclamation point.
That's actually a pretty interesting book. Wool is about this society that lives underground after the planet, I think, is the atmosphere is messed up by something. I'm not sure exactly. Stephanie's reading that, and she recommended The Fifth Wave, and I'm reading it now. It's really, really good. It's the most interesting alien invasion book that I've read or story that I've experienced, just because the fifth wave is in reference to these different waves of the attack, and each wave was a different thing. Like the first one was EMP, where they knocked out all the electricity in the world. And then the next one was, I won't give too many spoilers away here.
Locusts.
Yeah. The next one was they basically dropped a thing into the ocean and caused like a bunch of like tsunamis. So it wiped out, like, because most of the world's population is on the coastline, right? So wiped out a bunch of the population from that. Then there was a disease, and then it's just different waves. Yeah. So it's not your straight up alien like saucers coming down and militaries fighting them. In fact, they kind of make fun of that in the book, where the girls kind of snarky about it, like, no, of course they wouldn't do that. They got to do this, you know. And it's really good. It's told from a first person perspective of the girl, and it's involves a lot of flashbacks. She's on her own at the beginning, and then she kind of tells the story of what happened through flashbacks. And it's interesting because Hollywood is getting their hands on these early, like this GK Films. They got the rights to it before it was even published. And what's that? There's another book series that just came out recently that they're planning for like 15 books or something like that. Do you know about that, Anessa?
Not off the top of my head.
Harry Potter wrecked everything.
Yeah.
Curse you, J.K. So. Rowling!
Stephanie gets pissed off whenever I mention another book that's being made into a movie. She's like, shh, of course. Of course it's being made into a movie.
Well, Hollywood's run out of original ideas, and the next thing they're going to go to is books.
Could be worse.
Oh. Well, not really related, but still book related. Did you ever finish Ender's Game?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious because I remember there for a while, like, you hadn't read it.
No, I finished it. It's done. I'm ready for the movie.
Awesome.
But that whole thing with him being anti-gay kind of tainted it for me. I'm kind of like,
yeah.
I don't know what to think anymore. But I still want to see the movie because it looks pretty badass, and I can't wait to see Harrison Ford in space again.
Yeah,
it's gonna be cool. But I recommend Fifth Wave, and it's gonna be, if they do it right, it's gonna be a good movie. They're making another movie of a book that I just read called The Maze Runner, which is really, really good. So yeah, the Hollywood continues the whole adult, young adult novel craze.
Indeed.
Is there any books that you guys would like to see made into a movie that you've read recently?
Not really.
That's not a comic book, Brad.
Deck Z, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's the one about Titanic, right?
Yeah. You know, I've always been fascinated by the whole Titanic thing, though I've never seen the Titanic movie. But anyway, the thing that always struck me is that the captain, through the actual historical event of the Titanic sinking, the captain came across as a complete frickin' idiot. And at least in the book, it kind of redeems him. You know, yeah, it doesn't come across as a complete moron. And there's, you know, it's a whole, here's the explanation as to what really happened. And it was actually a zombie thing. And I think it would be kind of an interesting film.
That would be interesting. It sounds like it would be an interesting read. Right now I'm working my way through the Alien Invasion Survival Handbook.
Oh, cool. Didn't we talk about that at one time? I swear to God we talked about it on the show. Either as a story or as an Audible pick. Could be.
I don't know. I picked it up on Amazon for like $3.
Okay.
So it's been out for a while. I think it came out in 2009, maybe?
Okay.
Actually, I'd have to check. And there's lots of survival guides out there, so Alien Invasion Survival Guide. But, oh, it sounds like you're typing, so I muted your mic. Anyway, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Okay. I think Brad hears you too, so.
Okay, just making sure, because I got that pop-up.
Okay.
Yeah, it was released in May 13th, 2009.
Wow, well, it's been around for a while then.
So, it has been around for a little while, but eventually, once I finish it, I was going to use it as a pick, probably.
Cool.
But
yeah,
it's neat.
Fifth Wave's going to definitely be a pick when I'm done with it, so that was a little sneak preview right there.
I've got, like, a big stack of books to read.
I'm really hooked on reading now again. I was off reading for quite a while. Now I can't wait to, you know, start my book, whatever book I'm working on, so.
Yeah, I still do better with short stories. The commitment to reading a book on a regular basis so I don't forget like what I read is difficult for me.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of books, let's continue. The Galactic Netcast, this Galactic Netcast, The Alien Invasion, is brought to you by Audible.com. If you don't have time for reading, if that's nonsense to you, I don't have time to put words into my brain using my eyes. Well, why don't you use your ears with audible.com? It's an audiobook service, and they are offering you a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their awesome service. Now, keeping in the theme of this podcast, may we suggest Area 51, The Mission by Bob Mayer. And on a side note, this guy started following me on Twitter this week for some weird reason.
Sweet.
Yeah, I know. I get a lot of authors following me for some reason. I don't get it.
Do you post a lot about books?
No, I don't. No.
Or mention books in any way?
No, not really.
Not like specific titles?
No, No. It's weird.
Maybe it's the topic that you
could be
Twitter about.
Yeah. But
or your bio.
I saw this, I saw him, that he followed me, and then I was prepping the podcast last night, and I saw this. I'm like, that's the guy that followed me. So I had to have this book as our Audible pick this week. So here is a quick synopsis of Area 51, The Mission by Bob Mayer. Hidden deep in the Amazon rainforest is a place shrouded with mystery, or in mystery. It's called The Mission. And in nearby villages, people are dying from a virus more deadly than Ebola. Scientist Lisa Duncan and Special Forces Officer Mike Turcotte. Isn't it funny how in stories, there's two people with totally opposite jobs always get teamed up? It's like,
no, whenever I hear Ebola, and the reason why I was laughing is I always hear the Ricola commercial. Ebola!
Well, if Ebola ever makes a big comeback, we can use that joke again. Or you can
don't call it a comeback. It's been here for years.
It has been. So the scientist and the special forces officer, they suspect this new Black Death is actually a biological weapon in an escalating war between us and them. Quotation mark.
Wait, hang on.
Us and them. One more time. Okay. Them is the aliens who are part of a chilling conspiracy connected to ancient riddles, a covert government agency and Area 51. Now from the Great Wall of China to a top secret facility beneath Antarctic's ice cap, an eclectic group of soldiers and scholars and florists are working with Duncan and Turcotte to give humankind one last shimmering hope to survive, to stop the aliens, at least until the paradox or Pandora's box of Area 51 opens up again. So there you go.
And florists. You're going to let that stand? There are no florists in this story. Our apologies to Bob Mayer.
That'd be fun, though, right?
Slap them silly with roses.
Because sometimes you just need a pretty floral arrangement to go with Armageddon.
Yes.
You really do. It just brightens everything up.
Everybody likes pretty flowers.
You have to stop and smell the roses.
Yeah. It's not all doom and gloom all the time. Come on. So anyways, to download this or any other free book, go to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Again, that's audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts for your free audiobook. And we thank Audible for their support of the Alien Invasion podcast. Let's move on to the next section, which is this.
And now it's time for Creature Feature.
All right, so I thought we would go a little bit more lighthearted this week with the Creature Feature. And
this blew my mind.
So the Creature Feature this week is Mork from Ork. You guys remember Mork from Ork, right? Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mork and Mindy.
He's an alien, so we got to talk about him. Come on. Nanu Nanu. So, first played by an then unknown actor by the name of Robin Williams on February 1978 episode of the TV show Happy Days, titled My Favorite Orkin. You guys remember that episode? It was the thumb versus the finger or something like that. The thumb versus, come on, Brad, help me out.
I don't remember.
It was Fonzie versus Ork or Mork. It was a battle between.
Oh yeah, because Mork could drink a glass of water with his finger.
Yeah.
So it was
the thumb versus the finger. Yeah. So Mork.
And not the middle one.
No. Mork attempts to take Richie Cunningham back to his planet Ork as a human specimen, but his plan is foiled by Fonzie because of the thumb. Though all this turned out to be simply a dream Richie had. So he was a hit on TV, and the Mork character provided to be popular or was popular enough to get his own show, his own series. So in Mork and Mindy, Mork resides in the present-day city of Boulder, Colorado. Perfect. It's the pot capital of the world, Boulder, Colorado.
It is now.
Yeah. Of the late 19...
Wasn't cocaine more of Robin Williams' thing?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So he resides in Boulder, Colorado, the late 1970s, early 1980s, as opposed to Happy Days, which was set in the late 1950s. Mork's egg-shaped spacecraft lands on Earth with a mission to observe human behavior. Mork is assigned his mission by Orson, his mostly unseen and long-suffering superior, who sent Mork to Earth to get him off Ork because humor is not permitted on Ork. So Mork was funny, and he couldn't be funny on Ork because humor is not permitted. That's why he was sent away. He befriends 21-year-old Mindy after she's stranded one evening after an argument with her boyfriend. Mork offers assistance, and Mindy's thinking he's a priest because he put clothes on backwards. He didn't know how to put clothes on, so he had a suit on backwards. So Mindy saw him, thought he was a priest, so she basically confessed everything to him. They get back to her house, and she realizes that he's an alien, and the story starts from there. He ends up shacking up with her, and he starts learning the ways of humans. Mork's greeting was Nanu Nanu, along with a hand gesture similar to Mr. Spock's Vulcan salute from Star Trek, combined with a handshake. So it's kind of like this, and then you shake. Yeah, it's like if you're watching, it's
interlocking. Yeah, one is horizontal, one is vertical. And,
And one more thing about Mork or the Orkans. because of the different Orkan physiology after Mork and Mindy have sex because they eventually get in a relationship, Mork lays an egg which grew and hatched into a much older adult. And Brad, who was their son? Who? What actor played their son?
Jonathan Winters.
Jonathan Winters played their son. So that is your creature feature.
I didn't even have to look that up on Wikipedia. That's how sad I am.
No, I knew it too. I totally knew it.
Jonathan Winters.
Well, I think, I mean, we're about the same age, so this came along in a very key part of our growing up.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the best thing about that show wasn't necessarily the episode itself. It's at the very end, it was like complete improv by Robin Williams usually.
Yep.
Like the, he has a phone call. Bob Newhart, and just to really, really date myself and the fact that my parents had like a weird collection of comedy albums, but Bob Newhart was known for doing comedy where he would give you one side of a phone conversation and it would be all the responses. So if you've ever heard somebody talk and you're like wondering what the heck is going on, because you're only hearing half the conversation, Robin Williams would do this every once in a while as Mork. And the one that I remember is him like flipping through a phone book and just randomly dialing somebody, or it seems like he's randomly dialing somebody and saying, hello, is this Bob? Ha ha ha, and whatever. And then he says, with a last name like Lipschitz, I thought you'd be a pretty fun guy. So you only catch that one part of the conversation, but it's just complete improv.
Yeah, I think he did a lot of improv on that show, to tell you the truth. And I liked the when he reported back to Orson. Those were always good, too. So, yeah, if you ever get a chance, I believe that there is Mork and Mindy on Netflix. If not,
it's on DVD as well.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
Paramount's released a whole bunch of their stuff. Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, MacGyver.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll find a DVD and put them up on the Pix page, or actually the store. And then it leads you to the Pix page at galacticnetcast.com. In fact, I'm going to be kind of redesigning the store a little bit. I found out that you can actually make a Amazon store where you can just have a page on Amazon. Because the way we've been doing it, we've been basically inserting like the information on our site, and then it takes you back to Amazon, and we'll just make an Amazon page, and that'll just take it to take. You're distracting me, Brad.
Sorry.
That's all like...
So instead of making it a two-click process, it'll be a one-click process, and you'll be at Amazon.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's the pince-nez that makes me smarter.
The pince-nez. See, if you're not watching the video, Brad is wearing a pince-nez, which is what... which president was that? The... Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah,
Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt is famous for the pince-nez glasses, and that's what Brad is wearing on his nose tonight. All right, there you go. That is the creature feature. Let's move on and thank our other sponsor, which is... Brad?
Stitcher Smart Radio.
Yeah. If you want to be... If you're a dumb person, like, say you're from this town in Alabama, and you want to be smarter... Stitcher will make you smarter. It's the smarter way to listen to radio.
It truly is.
And what we want you to do is go to Stitcher.com/GalacticNetcasts and then enter the promo code GalacticNetcasts and download the app through us, because that shows Stitcher that we're actually sending people their way. What is this?
Oh, it's Katie Sackhoff.
She's in the Riddick movie.
Yes, she's the latest interview on The Nerdist that I listened to through Stitcher.
Make her talk, Brad. Do a voice. Make her talk. Move it around. No. Do this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, I'm Katie Sackhoff. I love Dave Nelson.
Oh, thanks, Starbuck.
I'm dancing for you, Dave Nelson. Oh, yeah.
But Nerdist...
Oh, yeah.
Nerdist is...
Wait, now she's twerking for you.
Oh, God. Yeah. See, now you turned me off by that twerking. I don't do the twerking.
No. Right.
You had me.
I also picked up a new podcast that I'm listening to on Stitcher Smart Radio. It is called Nerd Poker, and it's hosted by Brian Posehn.
Oh, I know that. How do I know that name? He's a comedian.
Yes, he is. And he's currently writing Deadpool for Marvel. But he's like, he came up with about the time like Dana Gould, Patton Oswalt, Janine Garofalo, and that group of comedians came up at about the same time.
Okay.
And so in his podcast, it's called Nerd Poker. And it's he and a group of like five other people, and they play D&D for an hour, and it's just a recording of them playing D&D, and it's hilarious.
I heard about this Absolutely podcast. Hilarious. He was on Bob and Tom talking about this podcast.
Yes, that's when I picked it up. I'm like, okay, I've seen it. It's been suggested to me. That's another nice thing about Stitcher is if you listen to stuff, if you start to collect a list of favorites, it will start making smart recommendations for you. Check this out.
It's kind of like Netflix. They'll offer suggestions for movies and TV shows.
Yep.
All right.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Stitcher.com/GalacticNetcast. Please go through that URL. And enter the promo code GalacticNetcast. That shows them that we are sending people their way. Or if you want to be not supportive of us, you can get it through your app store. If you want to be...
Don't make it sound like that.
If you really,
they can get it however they
if
want.
If you just
want
to give us a big F you, you can just go get the app directly from the Android Apple store.
Apple store.
But if you don't love us, if you're not a fan of Galactic Netcast, then you can just go through your app store.
Just pack your bags, kids. We're going on a guilt trip. Whee!
Makes you feel any better, the listeners, I didn't go through our app.
Oh, you.
Thingy.
You.
I went directly to Apple.
I didn't either.
Moyens. Ludwig.
But I picked up the Stitcher app before we got them as a sponsor.
Okay.
So.
All right. Fair enough.
I did not. It was.
I was into them before they were cool.
All right.
I don't have my hipster glasses though.
Let's move on to picks. How about that?
Hey, we should totally do that.
All right, Anessa, you're up first. What do you got?
Wait, now I got hipster glasses.
There you go.
I have. Well, it says a film by drunk people. It's a short film by drunk people. It is called Star Drunk, and it's about, I think, 5 or 6 minutes long on YouTube. And basically, it's an experiment in writing a short film while drunk.
That's awesome.
So several writers from Portland got together one night to write the script, and they promised each other that whatever they wrote that night, they would produce as a short film. So they ended up creating a Star Trek Battlestar Galactica-esque parody with laser gunfights and space battles. And taking the concept a step further, they asked their cast to be drunk on the night of filming.
Yes. I gotta watch this. This is
so, like I said, it's maybe about 5 minutes, maybe 6 minutes long. It's short, but it's entertaining. And like, I don't really want to say anything to give it away, but there is one part where you have like a fight scene, essentially, and it's the start of the fight scene where I just started laughing out loud. So it's entertaining. I recommend watching it, and that's about all I'm going to say about that.
I'm bookmarking it right now. Hang on one second. All right. It's going in my bookmark bar.
So.
All right. Done and done. All right. I'm looking forward to watching that. So could you tell they were drunk?
Some more than others, but it was funny though, because yeah, you could tell that they've been drinking because periodically they would take another shot.
Yes.
During the filming, it's like shot. Pull them up on the screen.
Was the plot written as it would be written by drunk people? Could you tell it was written by two drunk guys or a bunch of drunk guys?
Kind of. More than anything, I guess it was the acting that kind of adds to it. And I don't know if they did it on purpose, but there were a couple of people that just kind of like really had an issue, I guess, with getting started with their line. So I don't know if they did that on purpose or if it was because of the alcohol or if that was just written into like the script.
It's interesting because this was... these guys are from Portland, where Portlandia takes place, and there's that whole Battlestar Galactica episode of Portlandia where they get that guy whose name is Ronald D. Moore, but it's not Ronald D. Moore from the show, and they actually write an episode of Battlestar Galactica. And then have you guys seen that?
No.
Brad, you gotta see this. It is the funniest thing that you'll see. Funniest. But I just
and apparently, at the end of the film, it says that they were sponsored by New Deal Distillery. It's a Portland-based distillery. And in parentheses at the bottom, it says they don't condone drunk acting.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Cause drunk acting.
So I'm assuming that's what they were drinking while they were filming this.
Because drunk acting can cause drunk, but bad drunk acting.
I suppose it could cause injury given the situation.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but yeah, it was, it's entertaining.
All right. So let's move on.
I found it in.
Okay, I'm going to definitely watch it. Thank you for the recommendation, Anessa. So we were talking about young adult novels earlier, and my girlfriend Stephanie and I watched The Host on Friday night. Do yourself a favor. Don't watch it. Please.
I wasn't planning to. Just
for a brief moment. Yeah, exactly. For a brief moment, I was thinking, you know, I think I should watch this for the alien invasion. And then I went, Stephanie Meyer, no. And I stopped myself. And now you've kind of confirmed my fears.
Yeah, it's totally a Stephanie Meyer story. Because you go into it going, you know, or thinking, this is going to be an alien invasion. You know, there's aliens involved. You know, how could it be bad? How could it turn out bad? It turns out bad because it was written by Stephanie Meyer. So
well, there you go.
The premise of it is there's this race of aliens. They're like, they look like jellyfish kind of, and they take over humans. They go into their body. And they take over humans. And then there's some humans that kind of hid away, kind of escaped. And they use one of the main character of this is friends with a group of survivors who are out in the desert. So they find her, put this creature into her body, and they use her to find these other people, basically. And there's a whole monologue throughout the movie of the main character talking to her alien counterpart inside her head. And it's the worst device that you could think of to use in a movie. It doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. And then the aliens drive around in these like chrome vehicles. Everything is chrome. It's like the cars are chrome and the guns are chrome. It's all like chromey.
Yeah. '50s films have taught us nothing. Anything from the future is chrome.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Duh.
Of course.
We're from the future.
Yeah, yeah. It's don't watch it. The acting, you know, it could have been better if the acting would have been better. The acting was terrible. And I don't know if it goes back to maybe it's more than the acting. Maybe it's the story itself and the way it was written. But I kind of have to think that part of the problem was the acting. The acting was terrible in this. Or it could be the directing. I don't know.
Could or be. It could be everything.
Yeah. So that's my pick. I watched it so you wouldn't have to. It's The Host.
Thank you, Dave.
And it was Stephanie, my girlfriend Stephanie's idea to watch it. So we both
agree. That's
we both
agree. That's the problem.
Well, she had her doubts too going in. She's like, she thought the same thing I did too. She's like, maybe it's good. Maybe it's not a typical Stephanie Meyer story. Maybe I'll actually like this. And we're both like, we're making fun of the movie the entire time. It was great. If you have somebody that has the similar frame of mind that you do, and you want to do a Mystery Science Theater 3000 dealy, then watch this movie. It's perfect for that.
Okie doke.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've made suggestions on movies to watch for like my pick, and poor Brad has had to suffer through them.
It's been a while since you
That's
guys.
I'm like, that's your problem. It's letting your significant other choose the movie.
It's been a while since you guys have watched something bad, like something really, really cheesily bad.
We've been watching a lot of 30 Rock lately.
Yeah.
So, can't really go wrong.
No, you can't. Not at all. All right, Brad, you round out the picks. What do you got?
Can't hear you, sweetie.
Yeah, your microphone's off.
Oh, sorry. There you go. I was having power issues, so I had to cord up here. I decided that I've kind of been slacking on my Netflix lately and not watching any 1950s, 1960s. Sci-fi. So I figured I would get off my butt and pick a classic, quote unquote classic, and run with it. And I went with the 1959 film, The Angry Red Planet.
Angry.
Yeah. Oh, and it was pissed. Let me tell you. I'm going to give you the basic premise, and this is from IMDb. The first spaceship to Mars, presumed lost, is found in space and brought back to Earth by remote control. Only two from the initial crew of four are still alive, but one is unconscious due to an attached alien growth, while the other is traumatized, blocking out all memory of what happened. In hopes of saving the unconscious crewman, the amnesiac is... I actually said that right. Yes.
Wow.
Is interrogated back into remembering. Those in charge thereby learn of the terrible dangers awaiting anyone venturing into the spooky, ruddy stillness of the very alien Martian ecosystem.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So as you can guess, this is really, C-string acting. You only see the main alien like in costume form, and you only see a little bit of it twice in the film. The whole premise is you've got this group of four people have been training to go into Mars, and they take a like 47-day trip from Earth to Mars, land on Mars, find out that there is a little bit of an atmosphere. It is thin. There's crazy vegetation everywhere.
Because, of course.
Because, you know, when they step outside of the alien craft, everything has got like a hard red filter. It's just everything is bright, glowing red, and you can barely make out the people.
Mars is red. You got to have everything red, right?
Well, it's not red. It's an angry red. Oh, yes. It's an angry red. But there's a scene in here where I ended up asking myself, how in the hell did they pick this group of four morons to go to this planet? They walk up to what they think is a tree, pull out a machete, and whack off. Well, I actually said that. They pull out a machete and actually hack off a bit of what they thought was bark, and it turns out it's a leg from a giant rat bat spider creature that's 40 feet tall.
Wait a second. Rat bat spider creature.
Spider tree or spider creature.
Oh, yeah.
It's also a tree?
No, it's not a tree at all. They didn't look up. It's like they were like on Mars and they're just doing this with the helmets weren't that restrictive. And they actually do have binoculars, so as they're walking around, I'm sure that they would have seen this. And it has a huge body and huge spider legs because it's 40 damn feet tall. And one guy just about gets killed, and it's crazy, absolutely crazy. And one of the interesting things, and I would like to do more research on it because I don't entirely understand the thought process. Because you get messages from like Rod Serling, and you get this message from this film, and I'm not wrecking anything, because if something's labeled the Angry Red Planet, you know shit goes off the rails pretty quick. And that message seems to be, you're not ready for space. Your planet is screwed up, and you need to take care of stuff at home before you start wandering out of your backyard. And that's like a regular theme through, I mean, pretty much the dawn of the space age. That just doesn't seem, you know, when I think of that time period, I think, you know, we're in the Cold War, we want to beat the Russians, so you think we'd be rah, 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 we go to space, we conquer everything and whoop ass, you know? And that's not what you're getting in the Twilight Zone or a lot of these films. So that's always kind of amazed me a little bit. I know you need tension and drama or whatever, but it always comes back to that message of you're not ready yet. You know, Forbidden Planet, same message. So
even in Star Trek, they kind of had that message too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if that's just fear. Fear of the unknown. But you think that, you know, you'd want to have a rah-rah message that, you know, mankind can do anything, but that's really not it. So that's just always kind of fascinated me about these films. So anyways, God, if you're looking to just set an hour and a half of your life on fire, sure, check it out. It's cute. There's a space amoeba. Huh? Yeah, I said it. Space amoeba. Crazy vegetation that is like painted backdrops, and thank God they use this overlit like red filter thing, because you can sort of, everybody looks kind of cartoony in it anyway, and then you put in the painted backdrops and that, and the people just kind of mesh a little bit. So
okay, so
it kind of works.
While you were adjusting your headset microphone thing, Anessa and I were talking about how the host would be a good getting together with people and making fun of it. Would this be the same thing? Would this be a Mystery Science Theater 3000 movie?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I wonder if they actually... Did they do this on MST3K?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Huh. All right.
If only there was a resource.
Yeah. Starts with G. Goo. Sounds like goo. And it's an O at the end. Google. Google. That's a very valuable resource, the Google. Anessa, you're not falling asleep, are you? You look like you're just chilling back there.
I am just chilling back here.
If you guys don't watch the video version of the show, you're missing Anessa in her different positions on her chair, because the chair that she sits in is like a lounge chair, right? It's like kind of a, is it a rocker?
It's a recliner.
Recliner, okay.
But it rocks, I guess.
Okay. She's putting her feet up. She's got her knee over her other knee, and she's all like,
"Dude, you're making this sound like it's a pay porno channel. For $2.99, you can see Anessa put her feet behind her ears. What are you doing, Nelson?
I'm sorry.
That ain't right.
I'm sorry. I'll shut up now.
The Angry Red Planet did not. It was on their list of movies to do, but it did not happen.
Okay. All right. Good to know. All right, that's going to do it for this slightly porny edition of the Alien Invasion podcast.
I blame you, Nelson.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness, slightly porny.
That should be probably the title of this.
I like that.
Slightly porny. We want you
Wait. What? Hang on. Before, I'm sorry to interrupt again. No, I'm not. I do it all the time. Here is the rat bat spider creature. It's
the
on
rat,
the
rat bat spider creature.
Oh, there we go.
Hang on, let me. There you go.
Oh.
Yeah,
rat the rat bat spider creature.
Yep, exactly what it is. Yep.
It's all drooly and creepy.
Yeah, it's basically just a bat with long legs.
And it has a huge tail, which they don't do in the drawing there, but that's where I get the rat part.
All right. Hey, question. Mm-hmm. Did they do any smoking in the movie? Were they smoking in the spacecraft?
Of the four crew people, they had a professor who smoked a pipe. I think I saw a puff of smoke maybe once.
Okay.
But he had the pipe in his mouth, and you know, he'd do the two finger. Hang on, because this is a visual. He'd do like the two finger kind of covering the bowl of the pipe, and just kind of, you know, he'd think and whatever. But yes, there was a. No smoking of cigarettes, just the professor with his pipe.
Okay, all right. Good to know. All right, don't forget to follow us on the Facebook, on the Twitter, on the Google+. We would appreciate that. Also, we want to ask you to please subscribe by going to iTunes and looking up Galactic Netcasts or The Alien Invasion or The Time Traveling Robots in Space, and subscribe to our podcasts, and then you rate it. Give us 5 stars and then give us a good review. We'd really appreciate that. Thank you. Also, that's it. No, we're not done yet. Final thoughts. Who goes first? Who goes first on the alien invasion? Is it Brad usually or Anessa?
It's usually me.
Okay, Brad. What's your final thought?
Don't have one today.
You don't have.
You've been so good at being prepared.
I know.
He always has this great. Like,
and I'm always the one that's like, I don't know what to say.
The thing was, you know, I've been trying to thin out, and people that are checking out my video and have probably watched it from time to time, I'm thinning out my comic book collection. So I've been doing that in the evenings, and so I didn't have time to last minute watch The Angry Red Planet. Finished watching it and jumped into the podcast, so I didn't actually prepare my final thoughts. Oblivion's out on DVD, and I think I'm going to buy that this week.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
It is a great movie.
That was my pick on last week's Time Traveling Robots in Space. I had, I gave it a favorable review.
And that was my pick on Alien Invasion a little while ago, too.
When it was out in theaters, yeah.
Bam.
All right. Nessa, what do you got for us? Final thought.
All of my stars are grayed out for Oblivion because I haven't seen it yet. My reviews.
Aww.
Oh, and I don't want to be a red shirt.
Okay. No, who wants to be a red shirt? They all die.
I know. I'm like, I don't want to be a red shirt.
All right. We won't make you have a red shirt. We'll give you a blue shirt.
Although Scotty was a red shirt, and he lived.
Yeah.
And he lived.
And then in the next generation.
Well, then I want Scotty's job if I'm going to wear a red shirt.
Okay. And then later on in, you know, next generation time of Star Trek, the command officers had red shirts. So.
Yes.
All right.
And then the people that got killed were in wearing the gold shirts, like Tasha Yar.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that's going to do it for this Alien Invasion episode number 81. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.